You know who the most important person on the planet is? How many of you know? Well, Jesus is stationed in heaven, and so is God the Father. Woohoo! Because he's the person of the Godhead who is here. He's the God who is here with us. He knows everything about everything. He's the one that takes care of everything for God. The Father and the Son reside in heaven, but Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and left him to be here with us until he returns. You remember when I think I told you that Jesse Duplantis went to heaven and he actually saw Jesus. And he saw the throne where God the Father was, and he asked where the Holy Spirit was. And an angel said, on earth. And he said, yeah, I knew that. Well, we just barely knew it today. It took us a while to get there. That's because we are not constantly and continually and overwhelmingly aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God was there at the time of the creation of the world. The Spirit of God. He's the third part of the Trinity. He has always been there. In Genesis 1:2, it says the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the earth, of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And then God said, and things began to happen. The scripture says that the prophecies of the Old Testament, that the prophets prophesied as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God. So in the Old Testament, these supernatural things that happened that came out of heaven from God to us came by the Spirit moving from time to time, moving up on people like little visitations. In the Old Testament, he is never called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit or the Spirit of God. But God's ultimate plan for the Spirit was accomplished on the day of Pentecost. How many of you know what today is? I got mixed up in Memorial Day weekend for a change. When the church was born on the day of Pentecost, according to God's word, there really is no church without the Holy Spirit. Many people think that Jesus' last words were what they call the Great Commission, go and preach to all the world, but they weren't. His last words were actually in Acts 1:4-5, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That was Jesus' last words. The last thing Jesus told, you know, if my mother was going on a trip and she was going to leave me at home and she gave me a list of things to do, and be sure that you do the last thing. I saved this for last so you'd be sure and do it. I would remember that. This is the last thing Jesus said. He actually said, I've got a lot for you to do, but don't go anywhere until you wait and are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, why is that? Because there's no need to go without the Holy Spirit. You can be one more person in the mob that goes out and tries to do something and call it Jesus or Christianity, but not with power. He went on to tell them that after that, they would be witnesses unto him to the uttermost parts of the earth. And many believers do not even know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Don't even know about it. They even think the Holy Ghost is a weird, scary name. It sounds a little bit silly, and it is. I actually saw a series of messages advertised ghost stories imprints that are not so scary. And I thought, we don't really get it. We just think everything's funny today. It's not funny for the Holy Spirit to be the Holy Ghost. There's nothing funny about that. Ghost is just an archaic word for spirit. That's all. It's not about, you know, we're just so carnal, all we know is about ghosty ghosties. This is about the Holy Spirit. It's very clear in the Scripture when we are born again that we have the Spirit in us. The Scripture says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you don't belong to Him. So when you're born again, you receive the Spirit in you, but not the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that is another work that God does. It's not because some theology says so. It's because it's what the Word of God says so, and it's what the Scripture says. I remember in the early days of my ministry hearing a Pentecostal preacher talking, and by memory he told, I think there are about five or six places in the book of Acts where people were saved, but they hadn't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's written there just as plain as can be. And in every case, they lay their hands on them and they receive. And in most cases, they spoke in tongues. And in all cases, there were manifestations that showed that they had received. I sat awestruck. I got awestricken. And I said, I thought, you know that? I never knew that. See, I was a Methodist. I didn't know anything. And I didn't know about the work of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know about the power or the person of the Holy Spirit. And the fact is, a big part of people in churches don't. And here's clue number two. That's why there's not much power in the church. The Holy Spirit actually does the work of regenerating us, causing us to be born again. Jesus said to His disciples, "The Spirit is with you," Jesus said, "and shall be in you." Jesus said several prophetic things about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He also told them, "Out of your belly," in John 7, "shall flow..." Some people's flowing of the Spirit is about like our creek out here. That trickles a little occasionally, and most of the time just lies there. But Jesus said, He's going to flow out of you. Now, why am I telling you this? Because that's what's going to happen when you hear and understand and receive all the truth. Yes. That's what His plan is. His plan is not for you to sort of kind of try to do things and hope you can be empowered by the Holy Ghost. No, God never intended for it to be that way. "Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Scripture explaining that He was referring to the Holy Spirit that would be poured out after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. John 7, 37 through 39, He says it like this: "He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, there's nothing that could be any clearer than that. See, the Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out yet, like it was on the day of Pentecost when Jesus was talking, because it couldn't happen until Jesus died and rose, ascended into heaven. Then He was seated at the right hand of the Father. The Father gave the gift of the Holy Ghost that He'd promised. Jesus gave it to the church, poured it out on the day of Pentecost. If you lived in that vicinity and you were not there that day, you might as well have been dead, because that was the place on earth to be. It started a whole new day. Around 2,000 years ago, there was one day that started a whole new day of all days. It started the last days. When the Holy Spirit was outpoured, it began the last days. And I believe that we are now living in the last of the last days. So the Spirit of God was not referred to as the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, He's called the Holy Spirit. Holy is His nature. Holy is His name. making holy is his work. Holy, holy, holy. Please don't joke about the Holy Spirit. He's holy. He's holy. You know, when my mother, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my mother, who had had the baptism of the Holy Spirit for many years, told me about receiving the Holy Spirit. And she showed me, told me about her vision of Jesus when she was born again. And here's what she said. Now, by the way, you know, I would have been about 27 years old. And she said to me, I haven't told this to people at all, and I'm only telling it to you because now I think you can understand since you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. But here's what she said. Honey, it's such a reverent experience. I don't just talk about it to everybody. See, we just don't understand about being reverent or having things that we revere. When he was outpoured on the day of Pentecost, it was the Spirit of the glorified Christ. The Christ who had ascended into heaven, into the presence of God, and had received the promise of the Father to pour out to the church. Let me say how Andrew Murray says it. The Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost was indeed something new. He came as the Spirit of the glorified Christ. The Spirit of the incarnate, crucified, and exalted Christ. This life, as it had been interwoven into human nature, it was the Spirit of that Christ that was poured out on the day of Pentecost, not the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament. It's breathtaking when you think about it. And when the Holy Spirit was outpoured on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a sermon that revealed that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, which says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," Acts 2:16. "It shall come in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And how many churches don't even ask? That it's never, a pastor never comes before the congregation like I'm doing now and says, "Why aren't some of you prophesying?" The Bible says we will prophesy. Why don't some of you have visions and dream dreams? The Bible says that's what the Holy Ghost is for. It's amazing how we never, it's curious that we never wonder about these promises of God if we're not seeing it happen. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So the day the outpouring of the Spirit occurred was in the beginning of the last days. And what was the result of this outpouring? Sons and daughters prophesying, visions, dreams, the beginning of a new day of walking and ministering the supernatural realm of the Holy Spirit. It was a brand new day. But you will never come into the power for which the Holy Spirit was given, listen carefully, until you believe it and understand it. You're going to have to understand what God gave us before you can receive it. You know, somebody explained and explained and explained to you how to get saved, and you finally got saved. You have to understand what it is the Holy Spirit has provided for you. Really and truly, the church ought to have a period of time to just teach on the Holy Spirit. Then you could have some power to live the Christian life. Some people think, when they think Holy Spirit, they just think manifestations. They think about shaking and carrying on or something like that, some kind of gifts or what have you, but they don't think about the Holy Spirit being given to us for the power to live life. They think that'll come from counseling. Well, hello. Many people become believers But they're always weak Christians or carnal Christians because they don't understand what was given to them in salvation, and that they can then receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For this reason, they live on a very low level of spiritual experience. Now, if I ask you today, hey, hallelujah. Well, I've come to find out that if you don't live very seriously about God, and if you don't pray very much, if you don't study the Word much, if you don't know much about the Holy Ghost, you can still maybe squeak into heaven, but you're not ever going to have any power. You're always going to be weak. How many want to sign up? But some people have. By not reading the Bible very much. By not understanding about the Holy Spirit. By not being taught about it. By not seeking His face. They live as if it's not true. You know, in Acts 8, Peter and John encountered some people in Samaria who said they were believers, but when asked, Peter told Peter and John that they had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Peter and John immediately laid hands on them, and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Same thing happened in Acts 19 when Paul passed through Ephesus. When Paul asked if they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the answer was they didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians are in that state. And if there is a Holy Spirit, He's not bothering them any. Listen, if you can live your life and your conscience not bother you, the Holy Spirit's not bothering you. If you can live your life and just do whatever you think to do, never mind what it is you ought to do or what God's Word says you ought to do, the Holy Spirit's not bothering you. I want the Holy Ghost to bother me. He bothers me. My mother used to say, your conscience is bothering you. You know, a clear conscience makes a soft pillow. A lot of people are troubled at much of their lives because they won't yield to the Holy Spirit. He's in there for this purpose of enabling you to live the Christian life. They didn't even know there was the Holy Spirit, so Paul was incredulous. You see, with the understanding, well, why in the world are you calling yourself believers and you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit? He said, well, whose baptism were you baptized with? And they said, well, with John's. So they lay their hands on them and they received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let's get this work finished. Amen. You know what? Some people stop somewhere in between because they've heard silly stories about the Holy Spirit. If you get the Holy Spirit, you'll act weird. I got news for you and a revelation. If you don't get the Holy Spirit, you're going to act really weird. And everybody sees you acting weird too, by the way. Don't think you're hiding it. And the Holy Spirit, now listen to this. The Holy Spirit is so necessary for the things that He does that nobody else can do them without Him, not even Jesus. The Holy Spirit was there and energized the conception of Jesus in the womb. The Bible calls it being overshadowed. He was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and a holy thing was born in Mary. He was there at the baptism, Jesus' baptism in water, and sealed His baptism. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Now, about then, you want to forget that you know about a Holy Spirit. to be tested by the devil. It is absolutely necessary that the Holy Spirit lead us into and through the experiences that will prepare us so He can use us in ministry. Sometimes it's experiences we would not at all choose for ourselves. If I were doing all the choosing, and if I were sending all the people to this church, I would sign up for totally low-maintenance sheep who would just eat all day and occasionally come and say, my wool needs to be cut. I'm about to fall over on my back. I am so healthy. But He has not sent me that kind of sheep totally. Not totally. You cannot lay out a plan for your life that will train you and equip you to be used of God. And I said before, if you try to crucify yourself, you'll use rubber nails. So give up the whole business. But trust the Holy Spirit. But what if we don't let Him lead us? Then for us, we may as well not have a Holy Spirit. If you don't let Him lead you, because that's His job. That's what He's sent for. That's His purpose. He was there with Jesus at the crucifixion. The Scripture says that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus faced the victory at Calvary. He moved into the tomb. The Holy Spirit moved into the tomb where Jesus' body lay and raised Him from the dead. And your Bible says that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in Romans shall quicken your mortal bodies. Now, why does the Bible put little things in there if it's not true? I believe the Word of God is really true. I believe He has a quickening power. Oral Roberts says that every time a person is healed, it's like just like a quick little flash of the Holy Spirit, like a quick little rebaptism of the Holy Spirit, that He's the one that quickens our mortal bodies. John and I pray every morning. We pray for each other, and we believe God for the Spirit working in us to do what it's supposed to do, not only in all the other ways, but also physically. And you know your body can't forever resist that. Your flesh or the work of the devil can't forever resist that. It's got to yield. It's got to yield at some time. You know, when we visited our doctor more recently, She raved on about how my arms and hands are loosening up, how things are changing in my body. I'm doing water exercises twice a week now. And she just said to me, "Isn't it exciting?" Now, this is how I found out she was a Christian. She said, "Hallelujah, look at that." And she was looking at the charts on the things, you know. See, this hand is straightened out to where it's straight. And this hand is on the way to just catch right up. And my arms, you know, that I couldn't bend and I couldn't use them like this. I couldn't, you know, all of this kind of thing. All those things have really happened. And you know what else? She said to me, "I promise you, because my knee is getting better." But you know how we are. We want everything yesterday. But she said, "I promise you that knee is going to be completely healed. And you're not going to have to favor it like you have done. It's just a matter of giving it some more time." But when I take that little thing that she has created, every time I take it, every time it is blessed, that Jehovah Rapha will get all the glory. And that the Holy Ghost will do His wonderful life-giving work in my body. Because I'm kicking this thing all the way out of me. We don't need to be talking a lot about what we can't do. We need to do what we can do with all our heart and mind. There's a lot of people that I know. I shouldn't say a lot. But there are some people that I know that could do all kinds of things that I want to do, and they're not doing them. And so it's not so much what you've got to do something with. It's whether you want to do it or not. I'm going to let that sink in. How's the bird doing? Is he okay? Now I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit does in your life. In the very beginning, the Holy Spirit regenerates you. Let me tell you this. If the Holy Spirit didn't do a work in you, you are not born again. "Well, I accepted Christ." Well, I'm glad you did, but He has to accept you before anything happens. We really think we're in charge of everything, even salvation. You know? He regenerates you. Titus 3, I memorized this when I was in Bible school. "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done." Quit trying to good yourself into the kingdom. "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. This thing that happened to you when you were saved was by the Spirit of God. And you have no right to be so understated in your testimony. It was a powerful thing that was done in you. The Holy Ghost came in you. He indwells you. The scripture says he seals you. 1 Corinthians 1 and several other scriptures says he interprets the Bible for you so you can understand it. Now quit this, those of you who say, oh, I read the Bible, but I can't understand it. There's two ways that you get understanding of the Bible. One is the Holy Ghost. The scripture even says you have the anointing in you. And that he will teach you. So he is going to teach you. And the Holy Spirit does teach you, the scripture says. And the other thing is that you sit under an anointed teacher, because they were put here to teach just like the Holy Spirit was put here to do the things that he was called to do. You see, you can't really say much about what you don't know if you don't put yourself in a place to know. Romans 8:14 says, he will lead you. The problem is it's difficult for many people to surrender to his leadership. But he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And, you know, I thought of this as I was reading that scripture. I thought about the most beautiful picture of being led by the Holy Spirit. This is a picture of how you can know that the thing that is happening, you are being led by the Spirit. You know, in churches for so many years have been led by boards and committees. And hopefully, maybe some of those could or could not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't make a lot of difference either way if the Holy Spirit is not allowed to do the leading. Well, I think we ought to do so-and-so. Well, my pappy always said that we should. You know, we are led by opinion. We are led by our pappy's experiences. All kinds of things. Why didn't we just let the Holy Ghost lead? That's his job. He's sent to earth to lead. And so we see how they did this in Acts 13. They were dependent. They were dependent on the Holy Spirit to lead them. They didn't say, now let's get the missions board together. Let's decide the cheapest place we can go and who we've got to send. Or let's send a woman, because it might be dangerous. Now, let me get off of that. Listen, they were dependent upon the Holy Spirit. This didn't happen until they had fasted and prayed. In other words, they didn't get the leadership of the Holy Spirit until they fasted and prayed. He's not going to lead you just because you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit and overrule him on the right hand and the left. He's going to lead because you pray and seek him and you open yourself and you ask him for his leadership. They laid their hands, the scripture says, on Barnabas and Saul. The scripture says the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul. So they got together in a prayer meeting and they said, they ministered to the Lord first. And they said, Lord, what is your will? And the Holy Ghost said, how do you think he said it? I think it's probably by prophetic word. And then the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul so that they can be my missionaries. But verse 4 is so interesting in Acts 13 because it says this, so they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. How much further along could we be today if some church leaders had ever read that sentence? So they were sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if we should send him or not. Well, it's not a good time to send him. I don't know if he's mature enough or not. Da da da. I don't know if we should be involved in missions in that place. I don't know if we should be. It's all about what we think instead of letting the Holy Ghost send. They learned how to walk daily submitting to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:31 says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, that means built up, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort, that's the word koinonia, And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit or fellowship, they were multiplied. See, here is a picture of believers in the church being continually built up because they're walking in the Lord. And they're having the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to walk and work in. You know, when we began our ministry here, when we embarked upon the ministry in about 72 was the beginning, I'd only been baptized in the Holy Spirit 3 years. I was young enough in the Holy Spirit to actually believe what the Bible said about Him. I actually expected Him to speak to me. I didn't call committees and groups. I prayed with people. But I'm saying that as I took one step after another, the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me. I mean, He spoke about things that really matter. I'm talking to a man about so-and-so, about a cord of wood. And I hear myself saying, that's about a pickup load, blah, blah. And I thought, a pickup load? Who said that? I don't know anything about a cord of wood. And this air conditioning that we might have to completely replace, we don't know yet. But we're going to be cool next Sunday, so don't worry about it. But you know that we had a conference coming up. We had just built this building. Everything was so exciting and thrilling. Nothing was too much or too hard to do. And we just would move heaven and earth to do whatever the next thing was. Pray God will give you some zeal again if you've lost some years. There's nothing on earth any better than wanting to do things and doing them for the glory of God. And we were so excited about that. But we were being held up about getting the air conditioning system. And it's in June, you know, just like it is now. And so I prayed about it, and I was just walking and praying. And just in my spirit came the word train. I could have left on a train because I was really frustrated about that point and thought I was in trouble because I'd walked the people this far and we couldn't get it finished. I looked in the phone book and I found train, cooling and heating. It's T-R-A-N-E. And I called this man and I told him what we needed, and we needed it in 5 days. Usually you can't get people come for an estimate in 5 days, or sometimes 5 years. But anyway, so this man really surprised me, and he said, "Lady, you know what? I guess I'm a little bit crazy. But," he said, "I happen to need some money right now. I need some cash flow." And he said, I think it was $20,000 if I remember right. He said, "But can I have the money right now?" I said, "Anytime you want it, we've got it." And he said, "But the other thing is, there ain't no way in the world I can get the trucking lines to get that down you that fast." You know, I don't know why it takes people so long to do anything. It was in Michigan. Pick up a call, pick up a phone call, start down here the next day. 2 days most, even you sleep in a hotel at night on the way. Why can't you get something somewhere? Anyway, I said, "That doesn't matter. We have men here that'll go pick it up yesterday or any time." You know, it's good to be working in the power of the Holy Ghost. You get something done instead of giving excuses. And so, in 5 days, the air conditioning system's in. It works beautiful. It's still working out there, 30-some years later. Think of that. And the Holy Spirit spoke that word to me. And every day in all kinds of things, whatever's next, whatever the next thing is, if it's to go to the mission field, He speaks to us whether we should go in that direction, what people we should be involved in. Sometimes He has them call me. They are led by the Holy Spirit. But then He would lead me or some of us if this is the right thing that we should be doing. I'm saying if a work functions in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do some things. I believe that people's churches' futures are only as bright as their willingness to be led by the Spirit of God. I don't think there is any great hope for churches in the future unless we return to that reality. Think of how many things Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would do for us. in John 14 and 16 particularly. I listened to it again just before I came to church this morning. He said the Holy Spirit would teach us, would guide us into all truth. We prayed recently in one of our prayer meetings for someone who has a terrible, burdensome situation in their family because they have listened to the lie of Satan. How we need the Spirit of truth. And this person could believe this lie because they are not a Christian, I think they said, so they don't have the Holy Spirit. So they can just speak according to the crushing, wrenching pressure of the politically correct culture that we live in. You know, it really doesn't matter what they say about politically correct. It's got to be biblically correct. And so they were believing the wrong thing, and so they're going to enter into all kinds of problems. I'm going to tell you something else. The day will come that people will come to church because they are seeing that there's so much deception that they're afraid. They look at their friends and their neighbors and their relatives and they say, yikes, I could be next. And they'll come to church for protection from the Spirit of truth against the lying spirit, because the devil is the father of all lies and creates every lie. You remember in the Old Testament, a spirit even paraded before the throne of God and said, let me go be a lying spirit in his mouth. You know why the Holy Spirit's called the Holy Spirit? Because there's unholy spirits. And the world is full of them. Church, we need a Holy Spirit living and working inside of us and running the church and freeing us from what the spirit of this world and the devil wants to do to destroy. Don't let him destroy you and your children and your family. He's a liar. In John 16, he says he'll teach us and guide us into all truth. Jesus majors in 14 and 16 of John about the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth tells the truth. And he causes you to want to do the truth. So that's why he brings conviction. And that's why he will cause you to want to repent. He is so powerful. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He produces the fruit of the Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit does. Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do, Pastor. I just find myself, I just understand Romans 7. The things I want to do is not what I do. Everybody's been there and done that. But whine and moan and groaning and counseling is not the answer to this problem. The fruit of the Spirit in your life is the answer to the fruit of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, rather. The work of the flesh, I think the scripture calls it. It's the work of the flesh. And in order to overcome that, that's things like avarice and fornications and all kinds of things. Those are works of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, and I want you to note that he doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit. And if you've got the Holy Spirit, and you allow the fruit, him to work the fruit of the Spirit out in your life, it manifests in these different ways. But the fruit of the Spirit is, listen, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or that self-control, against which there is no law. And if this were not enough, he even sanctifies the believer. All these things that come straight out of my Bible to you today. This is what the Holy Spirit, I haven't made any of this up. This is not some sort of wishful hoping dreaming. I mean, the Holy Ghost, he heals people. He sets people free. He gives them clarity of thought. He lifts up out of oppression. But look at this. John is reading after Andrew Murray, and he's endeavoring to practice this, that Murray says, if you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, surrender and submit yourself to the Holy Spirit every day in prayer. I have found that Holy Spirit works most keenly in my life when I seek God and surrender my will to Him. Then I can hear Him. Not only hear Him, then He starts doing things in my life. Where in the world are we going to get love when we're mad? Where are we going to get joy when we feel depressed. You know, where are we going to get peace when we're aggravated? Where are we going to get long-suffering when we're just as impatient as they make them? Where are we going to get gentleness when we just don't feel a bit gentle or kind or any of those other things? You ever have just a moment, I'm talking about maybe just a moment in your life, where you just wanted to say something unkind to somebody, and maybe you even had a moment where you actually did it? That's called a work of the flesh. But what if that morning, in your prayer time, you had surrendered yourself to the Holy Spirit? That gives the Holy Spirit permission to work all these fruits in you. And that fruit of long-suffering would have risen up and had the power to overcome that impatient, unkind word. It has to overpower the work of the flesh. But you have to make room for that to happen. By the way, I make jokes about nice Christians, and I tell you that we got to go a lot better than that. And there's a lot more to it than that, and there is. But let me also add this. Christians should be nice. I've seen two or three articles today written about mean Christians. I saw one, and John cut it out for me because I don't read the paper. But I saw an article in there about mean Christians. And Lee Grady wrote an article for Charisma about mean Christians. Well, that's an oxymoron. We've been saved from meanness. There's a great old preacher who had a message called Quit Your Meanness. I think maybe we don't have enough messages on that. We've got to quit our meanness. If you don't have an intention to have these fruit of the Spirit coming out in your life, they won't come out. Because the work of the flesh will have its way, and that other junk will come out. Then the best hope you got then is to go to your friend that's about as hot-headed as you are and say, so I did so and so and so and so, and you blame me, and your friend will say no. So you encourage each other in sin and go one step further down. No, we can't do that. It's time to quit being mean. Our pastor is so deep this morning. She told us not to be mean. And this is the last scripture. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. You cannot obey without the Spirit. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. You know, don't you just hate that churchy kind of sweetness? You know, maybe you've been as mean as a snake the past week before you came to church. And then you come in and you might still be huffy about it. Maybe you were talking to somebody about it in the car coming to church. And you come in the door of the church. Good morning, the Lord bless you. Did you know that the scripture says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved? And it says he can be resisted, and I'm afraid sometimes we do both. The Holy Spirit's grieved when we do those things that are so unlike. You know, he's the Spirit of love. He wants to set us free from these things. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Well, you know, maybe I'm just getting old. I'm not fervent about anything anymore. Well, you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever confess. Don't ever confess you don't have any zeal. You don't care about things. Don't confess. Beat it somewhere where you can get somebody to pray for you and help you. We're not supposed to go around with that any more than we're supposed to go around with meanness. You do know that when we're born again, we're supposed to be different from what we were before. It's just I just thought I'd give you that little tip. And you don't have to bother with all this false humility. Well, I know I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Jesus said he wasn't perfect. Just don't even bother with all those useless words. Just put it in your heart. I am going to let the Holy Ghost purify me. Seeing that you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, here's what I want. And I always do this on Pentecost Sunday. I always give opportunity for anyone that has not been baptized in the Holy Spirit to be prayed for, to receive the Holy Spirit. Why would I do that? Well, why wouldn't I? Would I say, here's what I want to preach you today, but don't pay attention to it, really? No, I'm saying this today, now pay attention to it, really. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you need to have hands laid on you, and you need to believe God, and you need to receive the Holy Spirit, and we believe that you will speak in tongues. I like what Yong-Yi Cho says. Some people don't speak in tongues, but everybody can. And he says that the promise of the Holy Spirit is to as many as the Lord our God shall call, even those that are far off. Acts 2:37-39. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. This is Peter's sermon they were listening to. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, church, today we need to get on the edge of our seats and say, what am I going to do? I'm guilty of some of these things that Pastor brought in her message today. And I want my life to be a clean life, to be a right life, to be a pure life. They were pricked and they said, what shall we do? Then Peter said, here's what you do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Would you or wouldn't you want to have the Holy Spirit doing all this work in you that I was talking about today? Would you or wouldn't you want to be able to overcome sin in your life and get rid of the crankiness or the backbiting or the hatefulness or laziness, sloth, lack of being dedicated to loving other people? How many of you really like to be rid of all those things in your life? I would, and I'm so glad that 14 of you have a good chance to be set free. But here's what I believe today. You won't receive the Holy Spirit until you know about him, until you understand about him. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we believe, the full gospel message, is what is believed by more Christians in the world than anything else. And at Azusa Street, there was only a handful. But the reason that so many people now believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit is because we see that it absolutely rescues us, and that it is the power of God, and that we're not going to live a Christian life worth living without the Holy Spirit working in us. I'm not talking about saying I had an experience one time. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit working in us in all the ways that he works. Can we just stand in his presence for a moment? If you're here this morning and you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you've not been prayed for, or you received it, you were prayed for, but you'd like to have the experience of speaking in tongues, you haven't had that experience, I want you to just step forward as we sing this morning. I preached one time at a large church. Maybe there was, I don't know, 3,000 or 4,000 there. Thank you. And when I gave an invitation about the Holy Spirit, a big part of the people in the church did not speak in tongues. It was a full gospel church. Brethren, these things ought not to be. And I'll tell you something else. If you speak in tongues like a little scaredy cat, I can pray for you and you can really speak in tongues.